All right, so for Palm Sunday and Easter, we jumped ahead in the Gospel of Luke. And so today we're going to finish chapter 24, which is a resurrection narrative. So after that, we're going to go back to where we left off. So today we're going to be looking at the last section of the Gospel of Luke. If you have your Bible with you, let's open up to Luke chapter 24. I'll be reading verses 36 through the end of the book. And if you're able to stand, let me ask you to rise of the reading of God's holy, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word. I'll be reading from the NIV this morning. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Thank you, Father, for these words. As we draw our attention to them this morning, Holy Spirit, we ask that you open up our hearts and our eyes. Help us to hear from you, Jesus. Help us to see you, Jesus, in today's text. And we thank you that you are here with us. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, please be seated. All right, so I came up with an illustration that comes from 1970. Who was alive in 1970? Okay. All right. Oh, come on, let's be, you know, 1970. All right. So back in 1970, the Knicks were in the NBA playoffs. Did you guys know that? Yeah. And the captain was Willis Reed. And he was injured. He was injured in game 5, so he didn't play game 6, and they went to game 7. So here's a picture of him. It's black and white. If you haven't seen a black and white photo, here's what it looks like. That's from a newspaper article, too, so if you look at it, you'll see it's not that clear. Anyways, so Willis Reed was injured. He was the captain. And for that game, despite his injury, in the locker room, they said they were working on his leg, and he came out. And when he came out, Madison Square Garden was electrified. Just his mere presence. So the whole crowd was excited to see, and a missing puzzle piece was found for that game. And he inspired the team, and he inspired the fans to be louder and really get into the game. And I think he actually hit the first two baskets of the game, and then he didn't play the rest of the game. But his presence changed everything about the game. Because when he was injured and he didn't play, when your captain is not there, then somehow you already walk into a game feeling defeated. And this actually did happen, right? So for those of us who were alive in 1970, we could fact check this. And just as we could fact check this story, the story that we read, the passage that we read today in the Gospel of Luke was also fact checked back then. And everything that was written in the Gospel of Luke happened. Because if it didn't, we wouldn't be reading the Gospel of Luke today. People were able to fact check everything. And if you read through the Gospel of Luke, he is very careful in mentioning the names of the people that are witnesses. So I'm here to tell you that what we're reading today in the Gospel of Luke, it actually did happen. It's been fact-checked, and it is the truth. Amen? So that is what we're looking at today. So this is the third resurrection narrative of the Gospel of Luke. So after he was crucified and died, there are three different accounts that Luke has carefully chosen and written. So we looked at one on Easter Sunday, two was last week, and today we're going to look at the third resurrection narrative. And so Jesus appears to his disciples. The disciples were afraid when Jesus died, because they had placed their hope in Jesus. They thought Jesus was going to be the political Messiah who was going to come and rescue Israel from the Romans. And that was their hope. And so when Jesus died, and when their hope died, they didn't know what to do. We see Peter lying, right? Denying Jesus three times. We see that in other Gospels. And here it says, they were still talking about this. In the Gospel of John, John 20, it says that they locked themselves in a room. They were afraid. They didn't want anybody to come in. And then it says here, Jesus himself stood among them. You're in a locked room. You still don't know exactly what's going on. You heard that some people have met Jesus. You heard that the woman came back from the tomb saying that the tomb was empty. But if you put yourselves in their position, they're still trying to figure out what happened that whole weekend. It's a wild and crazy weekend for them. Now they're feeling threatened. What happened to Jesus could happen to them. So now they're afraid. And all of a sudden, Jesus just shows up in the room. Notice they weren't looking for Jesus, but Jesus stood among them. The resurrected Jesus stood among them. The resurrected Jesus was standing before the disciples who denied him, who didn't believe in him. And then the first thing out of his mouth is peace, shalom. That's grace, church. There's no rebuke. How could you have abandoned me? There's no correction. I told you, the correction comes later. And he doesn't remind them about their failures. I think if I were in his position, I would have shown up and said, I'm so disappointed in you. How could you have abandoned me? That would have been my attitude. But you see, what does Jesus say? He knows they're frightened. He knows they're scared. They don't know what to do. So the first words out of his mouth is peace. That's grace. And that's really what the gospel is about. The gospel isn't about Jesus coming and saying, you have sinned. It's about peace. Peace be with you. Shalom. This is not the absence of conflict, but its whole completeness is what Jesus is talking about. So he speaks grace to them. And yet they were still startled and frightened. So Jesus is trying to make sure that he addresses his fear. Here he says that they thought they saw a ghost. Who wouldn't? Because they saw Jesus die on the cross. And he's saying, why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your minds? So he's going after what they're struggling with. And then he says, look at my hands and feet. It is I myself. It is I myself. It is me. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones. As you see, I have. So what we can learn from this is the resurrection was real. It was not a spiritual experience. Because what a lot of times, people who were doubting the resurrection of Jesus were saying, well, the believers, the disciples, they had this spiritual experience with God. No, the resurrection was real. He rose from the dead. It was a physical resurrection. It actually happened. And this is crucial for us as believers. Amen? If the resurrection didn't happen, then what we believe is moot. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:14, right? And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. And so is your faith. So everything hinges upon the actual resurrection of Jesus. It was real and it was recorded. He also talks about the scars that he still has. Sometimes when we think about the resurrection, we think we get a new body. All our scars are gone. All our ailments are gone. We get this perfect body. But when we see Jesus here, his scars are still there. The scars of crucifixion is no longer a sign of defeat, but there are marks of victory. It's a reminder that there's victory over dead. Amen? That's why the scars are still there. And the resurrection is real. What's interesting is, let's look at verse 40 and 41. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet, and while they still did not believe it, here, Jesus showed up. Touch my hands, touch my feet. It is me, it is I. It says they did not believe it. Why? Because of joy and amazement. Jesus is now driving the point that it is he, that they need to believe that this actually happened. So what does he do? Well, like everyone else, you got anything to eat? Right? Because it's not a spiritual experience. Jesus rose from the dead. He is real. And he eats. So they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and ate it in their presence. So everything here that Luke captured is to show that the resurrected Jesus was real. They were able to touch him. They were able to see his wounds. And they also saw him eat. Ghosts don't eat. Spirits don't eat. And he is eating. And I love that. That's why we love food. Amen? That's why food is important in church. It is. There's something special about breaking bread. And that's why as we grow, my prayer is that we don't lose that element of being a community and breaking bread together. So the tent, that's the best strategy that I can come up with, but the tent is going to be part of that breaking bread. We share a meal together. We share life together. And I want to encourage you to do that outside of the church as well. Ask yourself, when was the last time you had somebody over your house to break bread? If you haven't done one in a while, just look around you. Invite someone who you don't really know in church. The best way to get to know them is when you eat together. I want to challenge you to do that. And that's what Jesus does here too. Do you have anything to eat? So he eats. He eats broiled fish, not fried fish. You know, I heard a sermon where they say, oh, Jesus had fish and chips. Nope, it's broiled fish. And he took it and he ate it. So fish is a gift from God for all you fish lovers. And if you don't like fish, give it a try. If it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for you. Amen. So after he deals with their doubt, after he assures them, it is I, it is Jesus, after he assures them that, as I told you, after 3 days, I'll be back, I'll be alive. Now is when he teaches. Do you see the order? It's after grace, then comes teaching. Not teaching, then grace. A lot of times we're in the business of wanting to make sure that everybody knows the truth, but we don't show grace. We don't show mercy. We're quick to point out how wrong everybody is. No, that's not the correct order. The correct order is grace, mercy, eat, share life. And as you're doing that, God will give you opportunities to share the truth. Amen? That's the order. It's not let's walk out with a megaphone and preach the gospel. We need to share life first, church. Just as Jesus has done it, amen? Yeah. Then he said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. And then he says, everything, must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. That's another way of saying the whole Bible. It's written about me. The law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. It's all about Jesus. The Bible is about Jesus. That's something that they missed. And sometimes we miss that too when we read the Bible. I know so many people, they search through Scripture just to prove us wrong. That's their sole purpose of reading through the Bible. Or some people just love theology. So they want to learn about God, but they don't want to know God. And I'm so saddened when I meet people like that. People with seminary degrees and doctorate degrees, they know everything about the Bible, but they don't know the author. They don't know God. They're totally missing the point where it says right here in the Bible, in red, Jesus says, the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, it's about me. The Bible is about Jesus Christ. But that fact is not enough. How do we see Jesus? How do we know who Jesus is through the Bible? Well, let's look at the next verse. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the Scriptures. Do you see that? He opened their minds. Maybe because I'm struggling with my vision. Every time I see the word open, I'm paying more attention to that. How do you see? So even though it says open minds, I'm picturing God opening the eyes. Like, is he opening the eyes so we could see him? I don't really use Greek that much in my preaching, but the word Luke uses, he could have used one of two words, according to scholars. Noigo means to open. Dianoigo means through. So the idea is through open, breakthrough is to break open. And Luke uses the word dianoigo. So that means he broke open. So it's a bigger action just to break open. And so that needs to happen. God needs to break open our minds so that we could understand the scripture. It's not just a small opening. He just busts open the door so we could see God, so we could understand the scriptures. So we need the help of God to truly understand the scriptures. We can't do it alone. Which is why when we have Bible studies, hopefully we open up with prayer before we open up the Word. Help us to see Jesus. Holy Spirit, help us to see you in the Scriptures. And His role is to break open our eyes. Concerning this passage, Tim Keller says that there are two things going on. There's the internal seeing and the external seeing. And he uses eyes and lights as the illustration. So let me just kind of share what he says. So the light is external. So if you want to see, if there's no light, you can't see. So you need to turn that light on. You got to turn it on bright. So the brighter it is, the easier it is to see. Right? So that's the external. But if your eyes are shut, it doesn't matter how bright it is. Your eyes need to open up so you can see as well. So there are two things that have to happen. Light, external, and eyes have to open up as well. So when Jesus opens our mind, when the Holy Spirit opens our mind, they're both happening. So there's light that illuminates, but also our eyes have to open to see it. Just because there's light doesn't mean we can see it. Just because our eyes are open, we can't see it either. They both have to happen at the same time. And that's what happens when we read Scripture with the help of the Holy Spirit. Our eyes are opened and the light is lit. Amen? Yeah. So then he opened the minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. And now he's explaining why this Messiah had to die. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. It's in scripture. I love this, verse 47, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. And that's what we're about today as well. Amen? Amen? The repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached. We're not about entertaining people. We're not about just gathering, singing songs, and having a good time. But it's about preaching what? The repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It says to all nations. And notice this. Where does that begin? It begins at Jerusalem. It begins at the place where Jesus was tried and crucified. That's where it starts. So they go back to the place where everything happened. I probably would have gone far away from Jerusalem if I had to start over. Right? We'll make our way there, but let's go somewhere else. No, they go right to where it happened. That's also grace. The city that least deserves it is where it starts. A sinner like you and me, where we don't deserve anything, that's where God comes in. That's where he shows grace. That's where he shows mercy. I know when I talk to some of you say, well, because of my sin, I don't deserve this. Let me run away. Like, no. No, grace and mercy starts with you. So do not run away. Run to him. And then that's not where it ends. And then after he opens the eyes of the disciples, so first he gives them peace. Right? He shows up, gives them peace. And then he opened up their eyes so they could see the truth. So they know the truth. And then it's not just about knowing the truth. There's a part three to all this. And what is that? It is sending them out. Sending them out as what? You are now all witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, which is the Holy Spirit. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So the third thing Jesus does is he sends them out as witnesses. After you and I have an encounter with Jesus, that's not where our spiritual life ends, right? We're not going to just gather and say, all right, he saved me, I'm good. Let me just wait till he comes back or I'm in his presence. No, he calls us to be witnesses. He calls us to be witnesses just as he called his disciples to be witnesses, but he doesn't send you alone. He equips you. He equips you with what? The Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit plays a big role in what we do. You're not doing this on your own. Why are we so intimidated to share the gospel? Because we think we're doing it. I can't do it. I'm shy. I don't know enough about God. I don't know enough about the Bible. If he was sending you out on your own, maybe you could say that. But no, he is sending you with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with you. Just as Jesus showing up in the presence of the disciples changed everything, the Holy Spirit in our lives will change everything as well. We forget that. We forget that and we live lives like he's not there. But he is, because that's what God promises. So if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is with you. He equips you. Also, what comes with the Holy Spirit is what? Power from on high. I just love that saying, he will clothe you. You have been clothed with power from on high. So you're not going out there naked. You're going out there with the Holy Spirit, with power from on high. And if you read through the book of Acts, and if you read through the rest of the Bible, you see these timid disciples of Jesus who were hiding after Jesus died are now going out there boldly proclaiming the gospel. What changed? Their encounter with Jesus. What changed? They had the promised Holy Spirit with them. What changed? They were clothed with power from on high. What's true to them is true to us as well. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit for us. If you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit with you. But we forget and we believe the lies of the enemy of our souls, so we live life. We live a defeated life. It's like going into the basketball game, thinking that you've already lost the game before you even started playing. That's not how God wants us to live. And if Jesus, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you believe in his resurrection, if you believe that when he died on the cross, he took your sin and he faced the wrath of God, and he died the death that you and I deserve, and through his resurrection power that we have this encounter, we have the promised Holy Spirit with us, we are clothed with power from on high, then we are able to do the work that God has called us to do, which is what? Be his witness. What is Christ doing in your life today? Share it. Be his witness. It's not just for you to keep. It's for you to share. And you don't have to make anything up. You could just share what God is doing in your life. That's all you need to do. But do it with power. Do it with aid of the Holy Spirit. Don't do it on your own. And I sound like a broken record, but to do that with power, we have to be in prayer. We have to be people of prayer. So let's pray as we do this as well. And then he continues, when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, so this is the ascension of Christ, which actually is a teaser of what actually happens in the book of Acts, the opening. So Luke skips about 40 days here. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. And so this is how Luke ends. Just a few verses ago, the disciples were confused. They were lost. They were afraid. And now, the last two verses ends this way. They were worshiping. They had great joy. And they stayed in the temples, praising God and blessing God. A complete transformation. So what changed? What changed? Well, what changes, Christ is risen. What changes that they had an encounter with the risen Christ. What changes, God sent in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is residing in them. What changes that they are clothed in power from on high. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, that transformation is for you too. So what can we learn from our verses today? Well, there are many things, but here are three. First is, we need to reject defeat. We need to stop living like we have no hope. When you get that phone call from the doctor about a loved one or yourself, reject defeat. When you have financial problems, when you have family problems, relational problems, when you're uncertain about the future, reject defeat. We're so focused on our circumstances that our prayer becomes, change our circumstance. But changing our circumstance is not it. What is it? It is the presence of Jesus in our lives. Amen? Amen. Jesus showing up, saying, peace be with you. That's what it is. That's what it's about. But we forget that. Oh, Pastor, I've been praying over and over again. I've been praying for hours every day. What have you been praying for? Change in circumstance. Well, you know what? Why don't we turn that around and let's pray that we experience God's presence in our lives every day, that we experience the power of God every day. Amen? That's what it's about. And if you experience the power and his presence in your life, it doesn't matter what happens to you. That's the promise. Second is, remember and receive his peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding, that can only come from God. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. If you truly want to experience peace, remember that the Prince of Peace is with you. You could be locked up in a hole. Jesus will bust through those walls and just show up. He will stand before you and he'll say, peace to you. And lastly, let's live for Christ. Let's be witnesses for Christ. There is a place for all of you to serve, to pray, to love, and to be a witness for Christ. And so because Jesus lives, stand tall and live boldly. Amen? Pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you. Thank you for giving us life. We thank you that we could stand tall because of what you've done for us, Jesus Christ. Lord, I do pray for the challenging circumstances that we are facing, whether it's our health, whether it's our finances, whether it's our family, whether it's about uncertainty of the future, whatever it may be, Lord, I pray that in the depths of our souls that we would know that you are with us. I pray that everyone within the sound of my voice would remember and know that what matters is your presence in our lives. I pray that we could all experience your power. So would you clothe us with your power today, Lord? Holy Spirit, would you empower us to live no longer defeated lives, but help us to live victoriously no matter what our circumstances are. And Lord, I pray that everyone here will be witnesses for you. Help us to boldly share what you're doing in our lives, to share the truth, to know the truth. And Lord, we thank you that it is you who open up our eyes and our minds so that we could see and so that we could understand. So continue to draw us closer to you. Continue to reveal yourself to us. And may we worship you as your followers did at the end of Luke. May we worship you continually, pray continually, and have great joy in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.